Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 293, being recorded on the 20th of August, 2019, with special guest Faith Zhu. I'm Sajid, and on Teams with me, we have Cynthia, of course, and our special guest, Faith. And Cynthia is actually out of the country on vacation, I suppose, and she still was kind enough to call in. So thank you, Cynthia. I know it's late over there, but we appreciate you coming on and, of course, bringing Faith onto the show on a topic that we haven't really discussed much, you know, in the ML space. We're all anxious to hear about it. But before that, let's just get into all the latest news in the Azure space from the past week. And Cynthia, I know you had one or two items you wanted to bring up. You want to start with them?
Yeah. Well, hello, everyone from Taiwan. And I do have two updates for this week. One was around Service Fabric being GA on ARM deployment. And what that means is now that you can complete the entire process of Service Fabric deployment from application registration, provisioning, and deployment all inside the ARM template. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up that, interestingly, we never really talked about, and I didn't really know that it also belonged to the Azure family, is Power BI Embedded. And now there's a new tool that came out that allows you to test for, to do automated load testing. And it essentially is powered by PowerShell on the back end. And it lets you test capacity on how much load you're expecting to get without having be in a production environment and running into issues for the first time when it becomes mission critical for your company. So those were my two.
Those are good, actually. And, you know, the Service Fabric one, I was really intrigued with that one because in the past we've had to, you know, use an ARM template to deploy the cluster, and then you'd use another methodology, MS deploy, something like that, to deploy applications. And then the two of them went out of sync, right? You would delete all your apps, and then your cluster would still be kind of there, and you'd forget to take down the cluster. This way, the whole, you know, your cluster plus your applications have one combined life cycle. So it's a different thing. That's an important one. But also related to Service Fabric, another update that came out, which is the public preview of managed identity for Azure Service Fabric applications. And what this means is now, SF applications can take on an AAD identity and access things like Azure Key Vault or anything else that requires an AAD identity. But the application doesn't have to do anything. It kind of is done automatically by Azure. And so, every time the application comes up, it gets an identity. When the application is deleted, the identity goes away. So that's something that's also been extended to Service Fabric. It used to be part of app services and things like that. And also on the PowerShell, since you mentioned PowerShell, Cynthia, another PowerShell update that's been released this week is you can now query Azure Monitor logs using PowerShell. You know, in the past, you'd have to do all sorts of, a number of different commandlets you'd have to combine together to query the logs. But now there's a couple of easy commandlets that they've given you, which can query the logs in one shot. So I thought that would be interesting. A few more updates. I know if I think Evan is trying to get in, but one of the updates that he would, I know, like to talk about is with the Azure SQL database, with the serverless option that we have right now, and the compute has been increased all the way to four times to 16 virtual cores, and so you have greater compute capacity in case you want to use the serverless option of Azure SQL database. So that's a big increase in availability. And then talking about managed identities, which we just discussed for Service Fabric. In the, they have also added support for app services for Linux. So in the past, the app services for Windows had managed identity with it, again, letting you access AAD protected resources automatically. But now that's been extended to the Linux version of App Service as well, which I think is very exciting because, you know, with the Linux, you can have a container out there running, and then the container can take on an Active Directory identity to access things like Key Vault. Let's see, what else do we have here? I think that's kind of a good roundup. We can get started. Anything else that we want to talk about before we get started with Fate? All right, then, Fate, thank you again for joining us. And please introduce yourself for our listeners. Let us know what you do at Microsoft and what your passion is around you know, Azure or ML and things like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So my name is Faith. I'm a PM here at Microsoft, and I work on the AI Frameworks team. So specifically, I work on the Onyx project and Onyx Runtime, which is an interoperable format for machine learning models.
Okay. So, you know, I know machine learning is kind of the big buzzword these days. Everybody wants to know about it and talk about it. Kind of before we dive into Onyx, give us a little bit of a flavor as to, you know, what Microsoft is doing generally in the ML space. And then maybe we can dive a little bit into you know, what Onyx is trying to solve for us.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, as you mentioned, ML is kind of this big hot area and different people are trying to get into it. Different products want to incorporate it somehow. And, you know, everyone wants to learn more about it. And there's a lot of really strong progress happening in the research field as well for innovating on this. So as part of the frameworks team at Microsoft here, we're really looking for finding ways to help operationalize this and make it easier for you know, for productionizing some of these amazing research and solutions that are coming out. So, like at Microsoft, we use a lot of ML in our products, but also we want to enable and empower other developers to, you know, build their own ML solutions, whether that's in Azure, on device, on the edge, etc.
And go ahead, Cynthia.
Sorry. So like you were saying, a lot of people are trying to leverage and utilize ML. And you said that Onyx Runtime was something around interoperable across. Hmm. Is that across different frameworks, platforms? Because I know right now there's a lot of different popular frameworks. And are they usually pretty easy to use with each other? Or is that something...
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me just give you guys a little bit more context on the Onyx project. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
Not
just
me.
Vaguely? Okay.
Yeah, I've heard the buzzword. I've heard the acronym. Yeah, I don't even know what it stands for.
So Onyx is O-N-N-X. It stands for the Open Neural Network Exchange. This was a project that came about almost 2 years ago in the fall of 2017. And it was really, it started from Facebook, but also it was a community project, and some of the original, you know, champions for this were between Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon. So over the past 2 years, Onyx has kind of grown as a community project with over 40 different companies that are also now on board. And the purpose of this, essentially, it's a standard format for AI models that includes both traditional ML as well as deep learning models. And it includes a way of like an intermediate representation of models in terms of what the structure of the model looks like in the graph, as well as a spec of operators that can be included as part of the model. So if you think about a model itself, it's just a set of mathematical computations that are modeled, you know, using different nodes that essentially have some type of sequence of execution. So Onyx is a standard way of representing that. And the problem that I was really trying to solve is that, you know, you have a world where there's different training frameworks that are available, and you have data scientist teams that may be, you know, using one or the other. For example, you might be using TensorFlow, or you might be using PyTorch, or you might be using traditional ML like scikit-learn, etc. And there are many of these frameworks, all with their own pros and cons in terms of what it can do better than others, and also you know, how the tools that are available for that framework. So what you end up with is that you might be trying different frameworks and, you know, doing different models and experimentations to try to find something that can work for your product and business need. And at the end of that, each framework has their own set of tools for how you actually deploy it. And you would be limited to doing that. So the idea for Onyx is that if we have a common representation that any framework can essentially be converted into and be represented as, then we can really streamline the number of different ways that you would deploy this model and make it easier for people to like use the tools that they want that's for their purpose, but have a single way of easily deploying this into a production solution. And on the other side, you know, you also have these hardware vendors who are trying to build, you know, new custom hardware to accelerate these kind of machine learning computations. And when they have to, you know, build specialized hardware that conforms to, you know, 5 or 10 different model representations, that becomes, you know, quite a challenging problem. So by having a standard representation for how these models will look like, it also makes it easier for these hardware vendors to focus their energy and create those optimizations based on the common format, knowing that models from other, you know, trained from other frameworks can be converted into this common format. So it makes it, you know, easier on both sides. And that was really the driver behind this project, to have this community-driven, open, you know, open source project that everyone can contribute to, but also makes it easier as the community kind of grows and the number of tools and use cases also grows.
This sounds, I know it's a little bit of an oversimplification, but I mean, it sounds really all about making sure that the end users or customers, right, the people that are, you know, out in the world building these things, not the folks that are designing the models or designing the runtime engine, right? So that the people who are building these things don't have to worry about where they're running or on what hardware. They just say, I want to use this tool. I build this model. I can export it. Here's my config. Here's my information. And then I can go run it wherever I want without even really having to care of who am I using to generate it versus who I'm using to run it on. Like, right, it's really about making it simple for the end users, right?
Yeah, it definitely helps with that. I'm like, Onyx Self is a standard so that if I train on PyTorch, I can convert it into a TensorFlow model. Or if I train on TensorFlow, I can, you know, convert it into a PyTorch model by way of this intermediate representation of Onyx format. So then furthermore, like going to towards what you said, we built the Onyx runtime, which is an inference engine for these Onyx models. So like Onyx itself is just a standard. So I can, like I mentioned, you can train with a framework you want, convert it into Onyx, and then go run it on some other existing framework. That's a totally a viable option. But we wanted to make it even easier. And then rather than having to convert it into some other format, you can just directly run your Onyx model using the high performance and optimized Onyx runtime. So I can talk a little bit more about Onyx runtime, but do you guys have any questions on Onyx?
Yeah.
Before we get into that?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of draw a correlation to something that I was working on. I'm working with a customer right now on taking their pickle files and sending them to Azure. So is this something similar where, you know, pickle is a format for combining the model and all the code, that Python code that goes with it? So is Onyx something similar to that?
So I think a pickle file is just basically you trained your Scikit pipelines and then you end up with this pickle file that you can then have to figure out how to deploy. So right. What we've done with Onyx is that instead you can export or convert your Scikit pipelines into an Onyx format, and then once it's in the Onyx format, you can, you know, convert it into any other frameworks if we're using those converters, or you can just directly run that using Onyx runtime inference engine for doing the prediction. And then along with that, you would kind of get to make use of the pipelines that are set up for making it easy to deploy with Onyx runtime on a wide variety of devices and such.
Got it. And you lose any fidelity or anything by doing that migration, correct?
So I think it really does depend on the specific model that you're trying to use. But the goal for Onyx is not to support like a fully comprehensive set, but to make sure we can support the most popular ones that are, you know, in application. By being a standard, you know, you cannot be a union of all of the operators from every single framework, but you do aim to kind of capture that core set. And, you know, Onyx does support custom operator, or you can always have custom operators that can run as part of the Onyx runtime for inferencing in case, you know, your particular model uses something that's not part of the official standard.
Got it. Thank you.
So I'm gonna my name is Kendall, by the way, meet you, Faith. I kind of jumped in a little, but I also kind of this a little bit to how I've worked with, I guess, machine learning models that are kind of already, they've already been produced for the end user, right? So like our cognitive services APIs, I know that behind those, somebody who was a data scientist actually went through the process of creating all of those machine learning models that ended up becoming something packaged up for end users. So would this be something that's more on the kind of on the shifted far left side, so on the data scientist side, when you're going about creating the things that maybe get distilled to other people? And I mean, are we going to migrate, like, are all of our cognitive services APIs that we put out to the world, like, are we going to be using Onyx as the runtime and things like that in Azure for those? So this is more me as an end developer who consumes really the end result of all of this. Like, how would this impact me? Would I even know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, let's think about, like, the life cycle of, like, you know, a machine learning model. So you start out with collecting data, right? You get all the data that you can, so you can, you know, have the most content to train your model. Then you kind of go through this training period, and that's really the, you know, the role of a data scientist, right? He'll be trying different techniques, using different, you know, tweaking ways and tuning, etc., to end up with the model that represents your data. And then, you know, this is where the role of this, like, new ML engineer, machine learning engineer comes in, where it's like, okay, great, I have this amazing model, but I really want to put it into my product, right? I want to incorporate this photo filter into my app, or I want to, you know, put this object detection model into, you know, my camera app, et cetera, right? So then the challenge comes in where now I have this model that is in some format, or maybe I have many different models from all different formats, and I need to somehow deploy this. So first of all, I need an inferencing engine that can do the predictions, you know, take your model, take your input data, and then compute, you know, do those mathematical computations and give you the result. And then you need a solution to kind of deploy that, right? I want to deploy it as a web service, or I want to deploy it and run it locally on, you know, my Linux machines, or I want to deploy it on some IoT devices, right? So I have to then basically find a way to package all of that together. So then you have essentially your data team, your engineering team, all needing to come together to actually get this single model into a production scenario. So the aim of Onyx Runtime is to simplify that. So the job of the data scientist remains the same, where you will train your, you know, collect, get the data you need, train it, and then you end up with a model in whatever format, you know, comes out with. Then there is a conversion process that will convert that model into the Onyx format, and these are using open source conversion tools, or some frameworks such as PyTorch will natively output the model into the Onyx format. And then you would just use Onyx Runtime, which is the inference engine that can, you know, take your Onyx model, just get, you know, give it the model, create a session for that, get your input data. And then with Onyx Runtime, we already have easy ways for deploying that into Azure using Azure Machine Learning Services. Or Onyx Runtime is actually already built into Windows. So if you have the latest versions of Windows 10, you already have Onyx Runtime on that. And that's through the Windows machine learning APIs. You can install that package and, you know, put it on, get an image for it, and then deploy it on, you know, Linux machines that you host yourself. So those paths, basically, we are able to kind of prepare and make sure it works really well. And then, then you can just get your model and deploy it. So, like, when you were asking about whether the cognitive services were using that, so we worked with a few of the teams at Microsoft to convert their model into the Onyx format, including some of the cognitive services. So you can think of Onyx not as, like, necessarily an alternative to other frameworks, because it's more of like a complementary piece that you can opt for if it simplifies your life.
Wow. So you're telling me this is in Windows? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kendall.
Onyx Runtime, go ahead.
I was just going to follow up with that really quickly. So, like, the benefit is just being able to basically host and run the model using whatever type of framework that you want, right? It's more like the freedom to choose. That's really the goal.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yeah, the goal for Onyx is the interoperability. And for Onyx Runtime, we provide the easy deployment solutions that we are using internally, just to make it easier for all of our different data teams at Microsoft to deploy, as well as it's an open source project. So we also want to contribute this to the community for anyone else who has similar challenges in their basically research to production lifecycle. The other thing about Onyx Runtime is that we do focus strongly on performance, and the architecture for exactly how the Onyx Runtime is built is also allows for a lot of different essentially add-ons and to improve performance that's specialized for different types of hardware.
And so how, you said you can deploy this to Azure using our Azure Machine Learning Service. How does that work? Is that something that is that a preview that we have to use, or is that it's available in the product currently?
Yeah, it's already in the product. With Azure Machine Learning Services, you can really bring any inference engine you want into it. Like if you want to run your model using TensorFlow, you can go ahead and just install that and build it into the image that you're creating to deploy. So along with that, we also have Onyx runtimes available that packages you can just install, as well as images that are already kind of created with all the other dependencies that you can just load and deploy as part of your Azure Machine Learning service.
And if you were a developer that's starting ML today, does it make sense to just start directly using Onyx from scratch? What would trigger that decision point for you?
Yeah, so today Onyx itself is focused mostly on the inferencing side. So if you were to train a model, you would still use PyTorch, TensorFlow, or a traditional machine learning model framework, depending on what your particular needs are. But really, after that, you would, if you wanted to use Onyx, you would just convert your model into the Onyx format, and then you would be able to use Onyx runtime for the inferencing and deployment part of that.
So, Faith, you said that this is an open source project, and yet you're a PM for an open source project that Microsoft is contributing to. How does that work, and how do we interact with the community, or how can people be involved?
Yeah, so Onyx Runtime is an open source project that is on github.com/Microsoft/Onyx Runtime. And Onyx itself is on github.com/Onyx. So Onyx Runtime is a project that we do have a team at Microsoft working on. It was open source last December. And we are actively working with a lot of first party teams to operationalize their models in production using Onyx Runtime for performance improvements, improving the process for how they deploy and manage the deployments. And today we have over 60 different models in production that came from, across the different Microsoft products and services. So this spans from teams such as Office in some of their features in Office Online, for example, grammar correction in Word, to some of the cognitive services, like you mentioned, the Azure Cognitive Services for optical character recognition, OCR. They are using Onyx Runtime, as well as teams within Bing for, some of the little box answers that you see at the top of the page whenever you enter a web query, as well as teams within Bing Ads that are using that for some of their models and more.
Faith, this is Evan. I was going to say you kind of just glazed over it, and I think Sajid had the same response I did. You mentioned earlier that the Onyx runtime will run within the Windows ML, so the Windows API is running on Windows, and it looks like that's also true for Linux and Mac. So really, you kind of have your choice, your preference. Do you want to run this on a device? Do you want to run this, on a server? Do you want to run this in the cloud? It's all the same runtime across all of that.
Yes. Yeah. So the goal, like I mentioned, Onyx runtime is built into Windows 10. So that's offered as part of the Windows Machine Learning WinML APIs. They do for WinML, they do have a set of APIs that make it friendly for Windows developers that can take advantage of other things on Windows, such as DirectML and some of the camera and hardware available on the OS. But Onyx runtime itself is, we have a separate distribution that is available for Linux and Mac. We have C, C++, C# and Python APIs. So the goal is really we want to make it accessible and easy for anyone to use, regardless of their particular deployment stack.
And so if you had to deploy this into like a container, like AKS or maybe app services, what's the recommended way to do that? Just package the runtime and all your data together?
Yeah. So Azure Machine Learning Services makes it pretty easy to kind of do that management and deploy either in ACI or AKS. If you are using Azure Machine Learning Services, you also get to take advantage of the other pieces of it, MLOps, and other ways to help you manage that workflow. We publish like a NuGet package, PyPI package that you could just install, build your own image, and deploy, wherever you need it.
Okay. And from a language perspective, is it mostly Python, or you can use like C# and others as well to interact with it?
Yeah. So C#, C, C++, and Python are all supported today.
Right. I think you mentioned that earlier. Yes, you're right. Okay. That's awesome. Really great. So what's the future for Onyx? I know it seems to look pretty bright from where I'm standing, but I'd like your perspective on it.
Yeah.
I think there was a just new release that came out not too long ago, right?
Yeah. So we've been releasing about every 2 to 3 months or so. So the last release was a 0.5 release that went out just the end of last month or the start of this month. So in terms of our investments and what we're looking for, one is we want to make it even easier to use with Azure Machine Learning Services and other pieces where people would be looking to employ ML as part of that. Onyx Runtime itself is already part of Windows, as I mentioned. It's part of it's easily usable within AML, and it's also part of ML.NET as well. So the other thing that we're constantly working on is improving the performance of this. As I mentioned, Onyx Runtime is very performance focused, and the architecture allows a lot of extensibility in terms of adding in different hardware and making use of different hardware optimizations and such. So we're working with teams like Intel and NVIDIA to contribute what we call execution providers. Basically, it's different libraries, implementations that is optimized for particular sets of hardware. Those can be built into Onyx Runtime as an extensibility option, such that if someone tries to deploy on a machine that has particular sets of hardware, they can take advantage of the optimizations there.
That's great. That's really nice. Wow. Thank you. All right, that's a lot of updates from Faith. Guys, any more questions for her before we wrap up today? All right. Well, Faith, thank you again for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate you sharing all that background and insight into a subject that none of us knew much about. So I think we're all more knowledgeable. So thank you again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And if you have any links that you want to share, please send them over to Cynthia and myself, and we'll be happy to add them to the show notes along with this episode.
Okay, great. I'll send those over.
Thanks,
Faith. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org. Under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.